this morning, Doris Gentry, and we're here to talk so kids listen. We're here talking about all things kids, make kids safe, be safe, and have a safe world. We are here today at 1440 AM Radio, and we are with five beautiful, beautiful women from Napa that care about technology and technological safety. So we're here with Val Wolf, Girl Friday activist, Grand Canyon guide. Hey, Val. Good
That's
morning,
me.
Girl.
Good
Grand
morning, Doris.
Canyon guide.
Yeah, for 30 years.
Oh, we're coming back to that. Oh, my gosh. Sharon Parham. Sharon is owner of Parham Design, graphic design artist. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Doris.
You do.
Great to be here.
Graphic. You're a CAD. You're a CAD girl.
No, I don't do CAD. I work like on a Mac and Photoshop and Illustrator. I work design. Mainly wine labels, but also logos and brochures and things like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. I have my own little home office.
So it's
cool. I love it.
Oh, good to know as the brain is turning.
Okay, great.
Oh, my.
Great.
Yeah. And Suzanne Bowman, Napa Neighborhood Association for Safe Technology. Hey, Suzanne.
Hey, thank you for having us, Doris.
Oh, my gosh. This is a wonderful topic and certainly a topic of interest to everybody. 4G technology, which I think now we're just calling it G technology because we don't know if it's 4G, 5G, 3G, 12G. Okay, and Jen Clower. Jen, you're a local mom.
Hi, yes, I am.
Mom with three kids.
Yes.
How old?
12, almost 7, a couple days away, and 10.
Oh, that is so precious. Okay, first of all, Val, are you married? Do you have kids and a dog?
I'm divorced.
Oh, single.
Oh, my
single.
God.
Oh, here she is. Give me your put your cell phone number out there. You know, this is better than Match.com. This is DorisMatch.com.
And I'm a kitty person.
And a cat person and a Grand Canyon guide.
Yes, I am.
We'll come back to that.
Okay,
Sharon, yes. Graphic design. Now tell me this, Sharon. Are you married? Do you have kids and a dog?
I am married. I do not have kids, and I have a dog that is our baby named Augie. He's a big standard poodle that we're crazy about. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's so cool. A big one.
Yeah.
Do you have him manicured in that puff ball thing?
No, we don't do the frou-frou is what I call it.
The frou-frou.
Right, so we just cut him like puppy cut, like even all over. Yeah.
Oh, I like that look better.
Me too. I hate the frou-frou.
I think those dogs, now listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. I think those people who trim those dogs up with like the cotton ball puffs all over, I think those dogs are embarrassed.
They are.
I think they're embarrassed.
When my husband wanted to get one, I was like, I can't have one of those dogs. But I go, if you cut them the right way, then it's okay. So
yeah, it's like the Labradoodles. They're so cute when you just cut them even all over.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so Suzanne, married, kids, dog.
I'm not married.
Oh. DorisMatch.com. And your cell phone number is?
Nope. And I don't have a dog. But I'd love to have one someday.
Okay. Oh, well, you love dogs, so that works for me. And Jen Clower, we already know you have three kids. Married, kids, dog?
Yeah, married. Two rescue dogs. We also are currently fostering a rabbit for Jameson Animal. Oh, so that's been fun. And we have a hamster.
You know, that is you're an animal lover.
Huge. Yeah, the whole family is. It's wild, but it's fun right now with all these animals.
So this show is Talk So Kids Listen, and we care about kids. Tell me this. Tell me how animals matter. We're going to start here. How do animals, what's something animals teach kids?
Oh, wow. Well, at least dogs, I guess, are more friendly. I don't want to say that because I'm a dog person. But, I guess it's unconditional love for any person.
Being.
You know, and ours is super affectionate and is good with kids. So, kids are really drawn to them. I have my dog out and they all want to come pet him.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
So, unconditional love. And we had a Malamute who was great with kids, and they could crawl on them, and they would even pull her a little bit and she'd just lay there. And so they show a lot of love and protection of the kids and
patience and tolerance.
Yes.
Okay. Mom of three.
For us, it's been responsibility. Our kids are learning to.
There's the word I was looking for.
You know, water. It's been a huge. I thought it would just come naturally to them. So this has been really good for them to have a routine they need to follow each day, make sure that the dogs are fed and, you know, the bunny is, the litter box is clean and like those normal things that. It's good for the age group we have.
so true. So our kitty person, you know, what kind of responsibilities and what kind of things does a cat teach kids?
Responsibility for care. Cats need combed. Cats need combed.
No way.
Yes,
I never had a cat.
And responsibility for cat waste. So if the kids are responsible for taking care of that, then they learn skills
definitely
for the cat waste. And with dogs as well, because you have to clean up after your pet when you're
absolutely
out. So I just think in general, learning basic responsibilities as the kids grow and understanding that they can't, it's not something that they can just let go because it's a live animal. Mm-hmm. And so you are responsible, so it's responsibility, really.
I know, it's so good. So I'm going to turn to Julie Hamilton, my sidekick. Julie Hamilton pulled this menagerie of people together with a menagerie of animals. And Julie Hamilton, are you married? Do you have kids and a dog?
I am married. I've been married 22 years.
Girl, you don't look old enough.
And I have a 19 and a 13-year-old. So girls. So I've got two teenage girls right now. And yes, we have a bunch of animals, but no dog, believe it or not.
Oh.
Yeah, I would totally. We used to have a Maltese, though, and she was the sweetest dog. And if I was going to get another dog, I would think about getting a Maltese for sure.
So you have other animals.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a cat, of course, who's like 19, and the kids are, you know, doing their responsibility. We have a lizard, what do you call those things? A bearded lizard.
Bearded dragon.
Fish, a snail, and a frog. Two frogs. One frog. I think it's one frog now. I'm not sure.
Are they all in separate containers?
No, they're not. Some of them are. I mean, Livy has this, you know, Saturday.
Do you have the snail and the same thing with the frog? Because
yes.
I think frogs eat snails.
Well, it's a sea snail. So it doesn't eat it. But they're both like aquatic animals. But Saturdays is definitely cage clean out day. That is without exception. All the cages get cleaned on Saturdays by the pet owner herself. And so, I think it's like Val was saying and Jen was saying, it's just that responsibility of knowing, like, this thing is depending on you to feed it, take care of it. And it's just a great setup for them to learn about responsibility.
Okay. So, yeah. Julie, what are we talking about today?
Oh, my goodness. What are we talking about today? Well, we had a great TV show. If you don't watch our TV show, it's Doris's show. It's the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month we film live. And we did this fantastic show about small cell technology. And so Val was on the show. She's here today. And we had a couple of other guests from Napa. And, you know, the thing is that these guys have been working. I mean, I don't know many people that are showing up every 2 weeks at city council to talk about an issue except for these guys. And I mean, there's a couple of other issues that come
up. Val bores us to death reading out of this scientific book.
But you know what? It's like when I listen when she reads, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, she's reading.
How does
this
she
book.
Even read those words?
She's a good
scientific
reader.
Jargon.
Yeah.
Makes my head, my eyes cross.
But what I love about these people is that these are people who are actually standing up for us. And we don't even realize it, that these people are actually being active on behalf of the health of our entire community. And so to me, I feel like, man, we owe them a debt of gratitude to say thank you for caring about our community. You know, so I'm so excited. So Val assembled this team, actually. I only had Val coming, and she got all together these amazing ladies. And I think each one brings a little unique twist of expertise to this conversation. And they know so much about what we're talking about, the 5G technology, small cell, NEG technology. And, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, comments on your Facebook post yesterday, because it started out with that law that I learned about on your TV show. And the law was that you can't put a small cell tower outside of a fire station. And the reason why is because it disrupts their sleep and it disrupts their cognitive ability and it affects their job. So I think it's very interesting that we have these laws to protect the people who protect our community. But, you know, as other people have said, well, what about the rest of us? You know, so
yeah, if what it's about proven, the rest of us?
Yeah. If it's proven that it's affecting them, then isn't it affecting all of us?
Yeah. Well, nobody matters, just the firemen.
Well,
okay. So Val, what on earth got you all riled up so much so that you're willing to take on the whole city, the mayor, the city council? What, you believe in this stuff?
I got involved in 2018 when Verizon put a notice in the mail for a meet and greet. And my sister's husband had died the day before. She received this notice that the cell antenna was going in across the street from her house. So we decided, my sister, myself, another friend, went to the Verizon meeting, another neighbor actually, and we wanted to go and see, what is this about? Who gave you the license or the ability to put in a cell antenna in a residential neighborhood? And so we had some basic information. We knew that it was really not a good idea to put in an antenna that was radiating microwave radiation 24/7. But it was from that moment on that we came together as a group of neighbors and friends and formulated our own little association. And then from there just skyrocketed into the information highway to get educated about it and start speaking in city council.
So what makes you so passionate to come to every city council meeting?
So since the city council did license currently 28 cell antenna in residential neighborhoods, I didn't want to stop trying to not have them in neighborhoods. And so,
or at least to not have more.
And to figure out ways to control what was actually going to be going in, which maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But one of the things that really I consider a Bible of the information that I like to share with people is this book that I speak at City Council every time. Because it's so full of information on every spectrum about this
frogs,
electromagnetic
turtles,
radiating. Yeah,
bees,
it goes from
bees.
Yeah, it goes from trees to bees to heart health to all of these things that this man researched. His name is Arthur Furstenberg, and the title of the book is The Invisible Rainbow. And so it's information that everyone should have. And so I figure even if I only get 3 minutes at City Council, I can read 3 minutes worth of this book that I consider to be one
of the Bible of
the most informative ways
information.
To, yeah, and it's hugely important. I just opened it up this morning while sitting in the lobby and opened it up to the page where when electricity came on in the 30s to rural areas in America, they have these graphs of what happened as far as heart disease and diabetes. And as soon as the rural areas of our country were blanketed with electricity, because this is the whole picture, it's not just about cell antennas, it's about radar and everything that has to do with being blanketed with these signals, skyrocketing of all of these diseases started happening in these rural areas.
Now you've gone to meddling.
There was nothing going on.
You backed up to electricity now. What do you want us to go back to candlelight reading? Okay, so listen, Val. I want to move on to some of the other guests.
Absolutely.
But I want to tell you this, Val. I have learned that I'm very sensitive to electromagnetic waves. And I think I shared at your movie the other night that I'm a person that cannot wear headphones. Mm-hmm. I cannot wear the little buds or any kind of little thing in my ear like that. I'm very sensitive.
Does it irritate you?
The vibe, it like vibrates my bones or something, and it makes me all anxious and nervous, and I have to get them off any kind of headphone setting. But I noticed something the other day, and Val, you're the reason I noticed it. So we have twin control electric blankets on our bed. And as you guys moan. Okay. So hubby usually goes to both sides of the bed and turns them on at night. So when I slip in my covers, it's warm and toasty. Mm-hmm. But what happened the other night was I slipped in and forgot to turn it off.
Yeah.
I couldn't go to sleep. I was nervous. I was anxious. I felt like my, you can't see my hands going, but like my skin was crawling out from under me. And I got panic breathing and I couldn't get calmed down. And I threw the covers off of me. And as soon as I did, I just calmed right down. And I'm like, what? I threw the covers back on. Got all panicky, threw the covers. I'm like, it's that electric blanket. Because I never sleep with it on, but my husband does sleep with it on. He has cold feet, and he sleeps with it on. I turned it off, got right in bed, and was out in seconds.
Wow.
And I realized, and right then I said, hey, Val, wherever you are in the universe.
Well, so Doris, what you may be experiencing, because you are a sensitive, now that you've realized this is an accumulative thing. And so you may find as time goes on, when more and more electromagnetic
barraging
stuff starts happening and you're exposed everywhere to electromagnetic, you may even be getting more sensitive, and this is certainly a true sign.
Well, and then I noticed, too, that with my cell phone, I used to put it in my bra, and my girlfriend who had breast cancer and had her mastectomy, she came up to me one day and just slapped me on the shoulder. She's like, you get that out of there. I said, well, it was just for a second. She said, not for a second. You take that out of your bra. And then you guys, I think it was you guys or the movie, talked about men carrying it in their pocket and getting prostate cancer and in their shirt pocket. And so I was thinking about all of that. Well, lately I noticed that I hold my cell phone against my stomach when I'm like tapping on it with my finger. And I thought, oh yeah, no. I need to get like a bulletproof vest or some kind of body armor so that I can, or maybe just unroll some tinfoil on my chest so I can use my cell phone like I do.
They do have cases, and I'm sure you guys know about this, can actually protect you from the electromagnetic waves. And that might be a different way to solve the problem.
That might be something I should look into. Okay, mom of three.
My mom has one.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, my mom has one of those things that you put the phone in and it doesn't let it out.
Okay.
It doesn't let the
radiation out. Okay, Jen, mom of three, why do you care about this stuff?
Well, because I'm a mom of three. But,
but do you believe this stuff?
I do. You know what? I do believe it. And I'm really,
some of us call us tinfoil hat wearers, you know, people running around, oh, the sky is falling. I mean, is this truth or fiction?
What I'm concerned about right now is that we don't know enough. I don't think
Hold on, woo! Hold on. I'm going to give you some applause. Yeah, see, that's the thing. If you don't know enough, maybe we should stay a little till we know more.
Right. Well, if they're talking about putting these on schools, well, that's my children. And one of the schools listed is two of my children go there. So what I'm worried about is that, like I said, we don't know enough. You can't tell me definitively it's not a concern. So I'm looking at my kids as the test run for this, and that's terrifying.
They're
as
the
a mom,
guinea pigs.
And I don't want it next to my house. I don't really want to be subjected to it either until, again, we know definitively yes or no.
Okay. I love you. So you're not coming in here saying, oh, this is evil, we're all going to die. You're coming in saying, oh my gosh, there's been cause for concern. There's cause of alarm. We should just slow down.
Does anybody have Wi-Fi that's really slow? Because mine is so fast already. My phone, like that, I'm on. I'm not having problems. I don't feel the need to increase. I don't think there is a need for this right now.
Okay. Oh, good job. Good job. Okay. Sharon. Mm-hmm. Sharon, so why are you a part of all this group here that is worried about safe technology?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm sort of...
Because you're like a technology guru. Oh,
well, not really. I'm more artistic because of the design part. But I guess I'm just concerned. I'm kind of a health nut. I've had some health issues. I've even had, like, the smart meter. I've opted out of the smart meter on my home. And so when I heard about this and I heard it was just going into neighborhoods where it could be outside a child's window, it will also bring down your property values, because we're in the Bay Area where people are really concerned about health issues. Even if you don't believe in the possible health effects, I feel like people in the Bay Area, you want to sell your home, is it going to be, how much more is it going to go down in value? Because they're going to look up and say, there's a cell tower right here, you know, in the front yard. That's a real cause for concern, I think, for just normal people that are looking at it financially. But I kind of know some of these people, and I heard what was going on, and I just, same thing. We get fine coverage where we are. We get wireless is there. Why do we need to increase it? And the studies haven't been done. There is no study that says all this is safe. But there have been studies I have here. I won't go into because there's studies, but definitely have proven. Just the government and the companies are suppressing it because it's all financial to them.
And so that makes us guinea pigs for an idea. So I'm not opposed to ideas. Ideas are good, you know, but you need a tinfoil room in 10 years to check it out. You know, put a bunch of hamsters in cages or whatever. Oh, wait, PETA's going to call me now. Don't put hamsters in cages. But, you know, it needs to be tested on somebody besides humans.
So right.
There's
totally.
Some benefit to testing of live animals. There's some benefit of that because humans are certainly more precious. But okay, your turn. So let's go to Suzanne. Now, Suzanne, you are the Napa Neighborhood Association for Safe Technology. That's the NNFACET. You're the NNFACET.
Right.
What is that?
Huh?
What is that? The Napa Neighborhood Association for Safe Technology.
It was a group formed at the Verizon Open House, and that people did their research before they came. For one thing that. You know, I've done the research, and I did bring to the open house. The two articles, and one was the International Scientist's Appeal, and one was the firefighter article. And one thing that I'm really, really worried about is our children here in our community. They have thinner skulls. They're smaller bodies, so they absorb more of the radiation in their little bodies. Their cells are multiplying fast. And our cells are electric. So are our brains. So are our hearts. And this radiation gets in the way of our natural
Of being. Yeah. Absolutely, it's an electric stimulation.
And the electric, the cells, the electric in it, tells the cell what to do. And when that interferes, I mean, you think of a pregnant woman, and all it is separating of cells.
The dividing of cells.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dividing of cells. And here, you know, we have a lot of sickness in our children. Cancer used to only be an older person's disease. And now more and more children are getting cancer. More and more children have autism. More and more children have lots of diabetes. We have children who have seizure disorders. That's where the electricity in your brain just go all off at one time.
Oh, absolutely.
And I, too, also have seizures. I have epilepsy, and you know, it's like your brain is already being, you know, when you have seizures, it's a big deal to your brain. Mm-hmm. And so to have this artificial thing mess with your brain more, wow, is really, you know.
You know, autism is up so much, and you mentioned autism, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, why do we have so many children now that are born autistic, yeah, or become autistic, where 20, 40, 60 years ago, we did not have that. Why do we have so many people having seizures now? Yeah. 20, 40, 60 years ago, people didn't have seizures. Yeah. And now they say 1 in 68 children have autism.
Wow.
Yeah. 1 in 68. Now, you know, it was 1 in 100 just 3 or 4 years ago. It was 1 in 100. Now it's 1 in 68. Wow. Could it be that every child is on a tablet and a smartphone and a...
Yeah.
You know, bombarded with electronic technology, Julie.
Not only that, but I don't know if you guys saw this. There is a video by a man who installs 5G towers, and he is talking about what 5G towers do to our future generations. Because what he's saying is basically like, and I know we're not doing 5G in Napa. I know our city council changed all of that and stuff, or, you know, we're only doing 4G. But what he was saying is that it basically acts like a microwave to, you know, how in a microwave, if you put your, yes, food in the microwave, it heats up the water. So when we are exposed to that kind of radiation, it heats up the water in our bodies, which is in testicles. It's in our brain and our eyeballs, and also in the uterus for unborn babies.
Did you join this group?
No.
Teacher member right there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So seizures now is 1 in 26 people.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. What is that? Is that what it said?
It's not looking good.
Yeah.
1 in 26. 1 of every 26 people will be diagnosed with seizures.
And then what if it's coming from the reproductive organs, you know, of us that are exposed? And then
what if
then,
it's the radiation,
yeah,
that's the link that's,
yeah,
causing,
exactly,
the spike in autism,
yes,
as well as seizures? Because there is a malady in our society, you know, and everybody keeps trying to say, well, we're not eating organic foods, we're not eating, you know, the foods have no nutritional value because we've overfarmed the land.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not that at all, you know, because a carrot is a carrot. Maybe it is more to do with what we're being bombarded with. So now I want to come to your book. So in your book, you talk all the time about the different animals. You talk about bees, you talk about frogs, you talk about turtles. What do these animals do around these towers? What does radio frequency do to our insects and things?
So there's many different animal studies cited in this book, but ones that come to mind are the studies with bees. And I don't know if it's in this particular book, but the study I'm thinking about is when they stuck a cell phone inside of a hive and how they did it for certain amounts of time, like maybe 10 minutes on and then 10 minutes off, or maybe an hour on or maybe an hour off. But the bees became completely disoriented.
Yep.
They could not navigate. They didn't know how to go out and forage and, you know, come back and be a normal bee. So that's just one small
example.
And
then bats. We had the same study done with bats because, you know, there's this sonar that things can't even see. And they did that with bats, and it completely disoriented the
navigation.
Bats, and they were slamming into walls and dying.
Another example would be the birds. Birds, their feathers are basically pulling in the electromagnetic signals. They're like grasping those signals, and it's going directly into their body. And they did, an experiment with chickens and took all the feathers off of the chickens. And so when all the feathers were gone, the animals were not as affected by the electromagnetic exposure that they got. But when the feathers started growing back in, even just a small amount of feathers when they started growing back in would pick up the pulsing electromagnetic waves and start affecting the animals detrimentally.
So the feather is attached by a hollow item that is like a straw, and I would imagine that that just vibrates and magnetizes with the waves. Mm-hmm. So that's a way cool study. But yes, Sharon.
It messes with their migration.
Oh.
You know, they have that homing, like migration.
Yeah, that homing thing.
And so that's a big deal. And in that book, it talks about the migrating birds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the book you're reading us, and while I'm making fun of the book because you go up there and just literally read us a page and a half, but it is interesting information that's coming out of that book. It's just so phenomenal. And if you can find an interesting part, I'd like you to read just a paragraph
that book to us. While you're talking to someone else, I'll pull
look at that.
Out.
So, our digital designer, graphic design gal, Sharon.
Yeah.
I called you Sharon. You're Suzanne.
Right.
Sharon.
All these S's.
Yes, Sharon. So all these S's. So Sharon, tell me what's got you the most concerned about this technology.
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm two people here would have these towers right in front of their homes. And
what?
Yeah. So Val and Suzanne. So
what?
Yeah.
4.5 feet.
Right. Right. From her house. And yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Val, you too?
Right across from my sister Shelley's house.
And she's
at my bedroom level.
Yeah. So they're both. But I don't yet. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to, because nobody's safe. Because if these things multiply, and they will, it's like now it's Verizon, but all the other phone companies will come in and populate every pole.
Wait,
right?
Stop for a second.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you know how many Verizon wants to put in?
Not total right now. There's 50 something. But okay. 700. I thought I heard you say that. That's Verizon alone. So that's not even in Napa. So that means you're not safe at all,
that's
right?
That's Verizon. Then there's Sprint.
Yeah.
And then there's T-Mobile. And they're not sharing.
Right, right. Although, I don't know if we're going to get into this now, but there are a couple things that we're trying to develop to try to control the
fuse is
the
what
fuse,
I'm loving.
The fuse.
Who can talk about the fuse?
Right.
You?
So the city could put a fuse installed on one of these towers, and It would turn off the transmitter if the power went over the limit.
50.
So
50 that's, watts. So if the fuse interrupts the power, then Verizon gets fined $10,000. Right. Then the second time, they get fined $50,000. And the third time, they get fined $100,000. And they have to dismantle that relay station.
Right.
That so tower.
We were really
so
hoping,
I really like the fuse idea. I don't see why we couldn't do that.
Right. Right. So that would that be an ordinance we would create through the city council, and hopefully we could get that approved. And then limit the output of the antennas too, because right now the city can also control the amount of power that goes out to something that's equal to a home Wi-Fi router.
Which is?
I don't know the amount. Do you guys know the amount of power that would be?
But I think the fuse was gauged at 50 watts. So if you emit over that, which seems to be 10 times more than they even need, but if they exceed that, then it shuts it down. So they have verbally told us they won't exceed that. But this fuse ensures that they won't exceed that. So I'm a big fan of that. So, yes.
There's a school.
Suzanne.
Yeah, there's a school here in California that had a cell tower on the campus, and 4 children and 3 teachers got diagnosed with cancer, and then 2 children that lived around the school got cancer. And the parents were really angry and wanted the school to take it down, and they wouldn't. So they had industry come in and measure it. And they said, oh, it's fine. It's within regulations or whatever.
Right.
Well, the parents didn't trust that. So they hired their own person. And the guy said, no, it's high.
Far exceeds. And that's what we're finding everywhere, that they put it in and then the industry says it's within limits. But then private testing shows that it's 3, 4, 8 times what is acceptable.
Yes.
So,
And then with the fuse, you know, it sounds like expensive, like, oh my gosh, if we're going to add a fuse to everyone. And how much does this fuse cost?
I think they said $50 when I was at the movie.
Oh, was it 50? I thought it was 5. I'm probably remembering wrong, but 50 bucks a pole, that is not bad.
That's nothing.
That's amazing.
I think the Napa Neighborhood Association will raise the money and pay for that if they need to.
We will.
You help with our fundraiser, we'll do it.
Yes, we will. Okay. So let me just ask Jen. Jen, so why are you so hysterical about this? Why do you even care? I mean, why aren't you at home sleeping and snuggled warm?
again, just the health issues, the health risks. I don't want to be exposed to anything that's harmful, my children. That's it. I mean, for me, that's it right now. It's just the health risk.
It's the mom thing.
Yeah.
Well, you had an emotional reaction to that story that Suzanne just told.
Oh.
Like, I can see it on
your
face.
My jaw dropped.
Yeah.
And I've heard this story before. I've known about this, and I'm sure there's other stories that are the same. I just don't understand it. It boggles my mind that we would put this on schools. And I'm here focused, obviously, on my children, but there's also men and women employed by these schools. I can pull my kids from that school at any time. I have a flexibility around this county.
Bam.
Where, but,
this
you know,
girl,
there's teachers that work there.
Get her. She just keeps zinging it in there.
Yeah, I worry about them, too. Nobody wants cancer. Nobody wants disruption with their health, and we have enough to worry about. I think that this is just unnecessary.
Well, and it's like at city council when I made my speech about it the night I voted no, you know, we can't get mad at Verizon. Right. They're just a corporation that is monopolizing on us, because it's us that has the insatiable diet. We're the ones, all the people in the audience that night that I was speaking, all y'all have smartphones, tablets, smart TVs now, you know, this round Siri thing, talking in your house, listening to everything. you know, we're the ones that are demanding more technology. Verizon is just the vendor that says, oh, you want more? Okay, mm-hmm. here, I'll give it to you. Sprint says, okay, I'll give it to you. T-Mobile says, you know, they're just being a corporation. It's like Coca-Cola. You know, we want to drink more. We want to drink more. They build more factories and more plants, and they give us more. I mean, we're the ones with the diet that is eating this stuff. So are we ready to cut the technology cord? See, are we ready to step back? Yes.
What I think we Suzanne. Need to do is regulate it. You know, like tobacco, we don't smoke everywhere. We don't smoke in front of our children. We only smoke in certain places. And it's like we need to start looking at this. And we need to come together as a community and look at the research and look at scientists and doctors from Harvard and different places and, you know, and...
Okay. Yeah. Got to give you some... The thing is, we're the ones with the insatiable diet. We're the ones that every human being in our home has 3, 4, 5 pieces of technology. And we need to cut that back, you know? And it's not a, it's like dessert, you know? My favorite dessert is a hot fudge sundae from R&D in Yonville. Okay. I would just... Oh, yeah, that's my thing. But, you know, I'm on keto and I can't have it. So it's just, you know, you just discipline yourself. You don't. And even if I weren't on keto, I can't have it every night. I mean, it's just discipline. Suzanne.
Well, you know, the Napa Neighborhood Association for Safe Technology is not saying that we don't have our cell phones, that we don't have some of our things, but we want to...
Moderation.
And that we can turn them off. We can turn our phones off. We can turn our Wi-Fi off. We can keep our phones away from us at night. I mean, I've heard people say they slept with it under their pillow.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, that's some of the things that we need to say, and we don't want to say, no, you can't have it, but let's do it in a better way,
like
in a healthy way.
We don't have dessert every night. Nobody's saying eliminate dessert. Oh my gosh, cancel the Oreos in the cookie aisle. Nobody's saying that, but every parent is saying, you know, you can have 2 and a glass of milk. You know, you're being a parent. You're being a parent.
There are alternatives. We all feel like we have to have all this stuff. It's this frenzy that keeps building upon itself. And for myself, as an example, I put a Ethernet cable to my laptop computer, and I don't have it on Wi-Fi when I'm using it. I have a flip phone. I'm not on my phone all the time. When I want to make phone calls, I'm at home. I'm on my landline where I can hold it up to my head and be very comfortable and have really clear phone conversations on a landline.
You're tethered to a cord, Val.
I don't mind.
I don't mind.
It slows me down.
You can get long cords, though.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody in this room except Jen grew up on landlines.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a landline.
You did? Oh, okay. Yeah. And so, you remember what that means to be, and I can remember cooking, holding the landline on my shoulder while I'm stirring the soup and watching the kids. Yeah. But Val, you have a book passage to read us.
I just read you a little bit because there's some different studies.
We have 5 minutes.
Well, I'll read you this paragraph, and it is actually about birds.
Okay.
And so the author of this study that I've read in City Council before is an Italian scientist. His name is Val Mori. And so he's talking about sparrows. In light of the plummeting numbers of house sparrows in Europe, Val Mori also undertook to monitor the number of sparrows at 30 parks and park-like locations in Vallalidad between 2002 and 2006. He visited each of these points on Sunday mornings once a month for 4 years, counting birds and measuring radiation. He found not only that sparrows were becoming generally much fewer over time, but that they were incredibly more numerous in less irradiated areas. 42 sparrows per hectare, where the electric field was 0.1 volts per meter, down to only one or two sparrows per hectare, where the electric field was over 3 volts per meter. It was clear to Balmori why the species was disappearing. The United Kingdom had even added the house sparrow to its red list of threatened and endangered species after the bird's population in British cities fell by 75% between 1994 and 2002. This coincides with the rollout of mobile telephony, he wrote. If the declining trend that he observed in his hometown continued, he said, the house sparrow would be extinct in Invalidad by 2020.
Oh, my word. We have to wrap this up. We are out of time. I can't believe it. You know, you think an hour is an eternity, and it just bloop, and it's gone.
Do you want to get some information out, a quick
sure.
list of websites if people want to find their own information?
Yes, I'd love people to do their own research.
So one is 5gcrisis.com. Another is mystreetmychoice.com.
Yeah, that's the one I went on.
There's a MAPA page. Yeah.
Mystreetmychoice.com.
05g.com. Here's one for the children. Children's Health Defense, which is a Robert F. Kennedy site. And then weareTheEvidence.org, which is the Daphna Tackover, who's very sensitive to electromagnetic.
Yeah.
Come and talk with us. We had an expert come and talk with our community.
Yeah, and then there's my friend Orlean Cole. Orlean, she's in Santa Rosa. She wrote a book on this topic
as
well.
I want to get her book, yeah.
Yeah, she's amazing. Okay, closing thoughts and comments. Literally, you have like 2 seconds.
Okay, Sharon here. If you're interested in joining our group, I guess the My Street, My Choice NAPA, mystreetmychoice.com or is it .org? And then there's a NAPA page, and you could fill out the form to reach us. I would just say that's wanted to make sure you can contact us if you want to join our cause.
Get down there. Okay. Jess.
Closing thoughts. I'm just appreciative that all of you guys are doing all this work.
Oh,
and
man.
I appreciate it. It's a lot. I have so much more to learn. So I'm going to be getting as involved as I can. I think that we all need to get together and hopefully create some kind of a little movement, you know, which is already.
When do you guys meet?
We'll be creating a new meeting with social media, and we haven't figured out the next meeting yet. But
okay,
we'll
closing thought, Val.
I just want to thank you, Doris, because I think you rock the movement.
You are
getting this information out and creating an avenue for other people in our community to know what's going on.
You know, to be aware, I'm not saying definitively this is going to kill everybody in this room, right? Because we're in a room full of technology right now, and it makes my little skin, you know, and be like that. I'm not saying definitively. I'm saying we're still researching. We're still learning. We're still understanding. So hit the pause button and let's get this figured out before we go deeper into this. And now Suzanne has a thought.
Well,
closing thought.
I would really like to see our to be able to get our schools, our teachers, the board, you know, to even just look at the research.
So far, the
and
schools are not
it.
Buying in on this
none,
at all.
None. They're the untouchables.
The schools are not participating in this conversation at the present time. Okay, Julie, you got 1 second.
Oh, thank you to all of you guys who are working so hard on our behalf and looking out for us.
Some applause for everybody. We'll see you same time next Monday. This is Doris Gentry signing off. Talk So Kids Listen, 1440 AM KVON. Woohoo! Yeah!